In October, Lifeway Research released a new study that revealed positive changes in evangelical views on immigration. In almost every category, evangelicals polled moved closer to World Relief's views on immigrants arriving in the U.S., including 70% who say the U.S. has a moral responsibility to accept refugees and 78% who support a path to citizenship for immigrants who are currently in the country illegally. Today, Matthew Sorens, the U.S. Director of Church Mobilization and Advocacy, is with us to talk about this study, what it could mean for immigration reform in the U.S., and how you can help us build off of this positive momentum. So, Matt, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, very happy to, Rachel.
Can you just start by telling us what this survey is about and how it was initiated?
Sure. Well, you know, at World Relief, our approach to immigrants in our community and to questions of U.S. immigration policy have always been guided by the Bible, not by public opinion. But as we interact with churches in various parts of the United States, you know, we've certainly observed an increase in eagerness from evangelical churches, both to welcome refugees and other immigrants and to engage in immigration policy issues. So we were really eager to see if a rigorous research study would confirm our anecdotal observations. And we worked with Lifeway Research back in 2015 to do a similar study. So we reached out to them again to see if they could poll evangelical Christians, asking them a number of the questions that we asked then, as well as a few new questions to help us understand how American evangelicals are thinking about refugees, immigrants, and immigration.
Thanks for that explanation. So the study was conducted by Lifeway Research in partnership with World Relief and the Evangelical Immigration Table. For those who don't know, what is the Evangelical Immigration Table?
Yeah, so the Evangelical Immigration Table is a broad coalition of national evangelical denominations and organizations. World Relief actually helped us start the EIT more than a decade ago, and we still lead it alongside partners such as the National Association of Evangelicals, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, the National Latino Evangelical Coalition, the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, and several other partners. Our collaborative efforts are focused on trying to encourage distinctly biblical thinking about issues of immigration, and that's both in local churches and among the elected officials with the authority to set immigration policy. Since the EIT launched in 2012, we've organized all of our efforts around a statement of principles that we think are rooted in biblical values. Specifically, we've called for immigration reform that respects the God-given dignity of every person, that protects the unity of the immediate family, that respects the rule of law, that guarantees secure national borders, that ensures fairness to taxpayers, and that establishes a path toward legal status and or citizenship for those who qualify and who wish to become permanent residents. We were really encouraged to confirm with this new study that each of these six principles are affirmed by at least 78% of the American evangelicals who were polled.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'd just be curious to hear, we'll put a link to the report and the study, but what were your reactions when the study first came out?
Yeah, to be very honest, I was really nervous to see what the study would find. You know, I've spent more than a decade of the larger part of my career trying to challenge evangelical Christians to embrace a view of immigrants and of immigration policy that I personally believe are rooted in the Bible. And there have certainly been moments in the last several years when it felt like we were losing ground, not gaining ground. So I was really overjoyed to get these results, which showed that evangelicals have become more favorable to World Relief's policy views on just about every count. And maybe even more importantly to me, we've also seen that a significantly higher share of evangelicals now say they understand what the Bible has to say on this topic. Though, of course, there's still plenty of work to do.
Yeah. So what was the most significant finding in the survey to you?
You know, the one thing that honestly just shocked me was that 70% of American evangelicals, and that's of all ethnicities, but it includes 68% of white evangelicals in particular, 70% of American evangelicals believe that the U.S. has a moral responsibility to accept refugees, which U.S. law defines as individuals who have fled persecution due to specific factors such as race, religion, or political opinion. Of course, we're World Relief. We resettle refugees in partnership with churches. We would love to see that be 100%, not 70%. But what's really gobsmacking to me is it is an incredible shift from a similar polling question from 2018. So just 4 years ago, when Pew Research Center surveyed, in this case, they were looking specifically at white evangelicals, and they found that only 25% said that the U.S. had a responsibility to receive refugees. That's like a really remarkable shift that you just do not often see in such a short period of time. And of course, the study from Lifeway doesn't tell us why evangelical views have changed so dramatically, but it's great to see the change, and you know, we can celebrate that.
Yeah, I agree. I was surprised in a really good way, and I know for you, it's probably exciting to see progress and the fruits of your labor kind of playing out through this study. So, what else encouraged you from the survey?
Well, if anyone who has ever heard me preach at a church or speak on this topic of immigration anytime in the past 7 years since we did this initial Lifeway research study in 2015 has probably heard me lament the finding of that study in 2015 that only 12% of evangelical Christians think about issues of immigration primarily from the perspective of the Bible. The good news of this study, well, one of the pieces of good news is that that's no longer true. The number of self-identified evangelicals who say that the Bible is the most important factor influencing their views on issues of immigration is now 21%. Now, on one level, that is, of course, still unacceptable for people who sort of by definition would say that the scriptures are their ultimate authority. But it's a significant change. It's a significant increase. And I think it's probably related to another shift that we identified in this study, and that's that 31% of evangelicals now say they've heard a message from their church encouraging them to reach out to immigrants in their community. Again, we would like that to be higher than 31%, but it's up from 21% in 2015. And I suspect one reason that it's still only a minority of evangelicals who've heard a biblically informed message on this theme is that many pastors worry that speaking about immigration would upset some members of their congregation. But this study also finds that nearly 4 in 5 evangelicals now say that they would value hearing a sermon applying biblical principles to immigration issues, which I hope gives more pastors the courage to preach on God's heart for this topic.
Yeah, that one encouraged me too. And I always find that statistic really interesting when you talk about it. So in nearly every category, those polled moved closer to World Relief's views on immigration and some of the things you talked about with the evangelical immigration table. What do you think prompted this shift?
Yeah, I mean, the study itself, I should be clear, doesn't answer that question directly, so I can only speculate. But I would hope that as more evangelicals are engaging the Bible than were a few years back, they've come to the same conclusions as we have at World Relief for many years, which is a position that affirms the value of immigrants and wants to see those who are undocumented have the chance to earn permanent legal status and eventually citizenship, while also, you know, affirming the need for secure borders. I also think it's probably accurate to say that a significant factor has been the recent crises in Afghanistan and Ukraine, which have reminded many Americans of why we would be a country that welcomes refugees and others fleeing hardship. And I also think the reality that the media coverage, whether from a left or a right-leaning media outlet, of those crises has largely painted a sympathetic and factual picture of the plight of Afghans and Ukrainians has probably also helped a lot. And that's a significant difference from 2015, when a lot of Americans were hearing things about Syrian refugees in particular on television or on radio or social media that frankly were untrue and elicited a lot of fear among some evangelicals. Now, of course, what hasn't changed between 2015 and 2022 is the Bible, and World Relief's position is to welcome Syrians and Afghans and Ukrainians and Venezuelans and whoever else is fleeing persecution. But the media narrative certainly does impact people's views.
Yeah. And I imagine, you know, you spend a lot of time talking to people and speaking to churches about immigration reform. That's one of the things that the evangelical immigration table continues to try to do. So I wondered if you could share a story about a time when you've gotten to see a tangible shift in the way someone has been thinking while you're speaking.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's one of my favorite parts of my job. And I think it's why I'm convinced that a significant share of evangelical Christians really are trying to follow Jesus and are really open to aligning their hearts with God's heart for refugees and other immigrants if they're discipled well, is that I get to see that on a really regular basis. I get the privilege of speaking on this topic, I don't know, a few times a week sometimes. And it's, when I speak on a stage, I can usually pick out a few people in any given audience who've kind of got their arms crossed, and you can just see in their posture that they are not happy that their church is even broaching this topic of immigration. But then I talk about the Bible. I talk, you know, it's not a partisan message in any way. And I often get to see at least some of those people kind of relax their posture and realize, wow, this is this is a biblical issue, not just the political issue I've thought about it as. And I really feel like we get to see God's Spirit do his work. The author of Hebrews tells us that God's word is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I've often had the privilege of seeing people's attitudes change when they're confronted, I hope gently, with a biblical message. I mean, literally, as we're recording this last night, I got to speak at a gala for our newest World Relief office in Rochester, New York, our Western New York office, and talked to someone who said, you know, I heard you speak 4.5 years ago at a church here in Rochester, and I never thought about this issue at all. And it really, you know, spurred me thinking about this. And then I looked for opportunities to volunteer, and I was a part of the launch of World Relief Western New York, and, you know, just sharing the ways that her new friendships with refugees have transformed not just her perspective on immigration policy, but also her life in some really positive ways. And that's honestly what keeps me motivated.
Yeah, I love hearing that. Kind of on the opposite side, what's the biggest area of resistance that you encounter when you're speaking, when it comes to immigration reform and welcoming immigrants to the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and the study confirms this to some extent, a lot of Americans, including a lot of evangelicals, have been discipled by cable news, by talk radio, by social media, to believe that they have to choose one of two extreme positions on immigration issues, either be for totally open borders with no regulation and no regard for immigration laws, or to be for closed borders, restricting immigration dramatically, if not entirely. And frankly, I'm not persuaded that either one of those polar views is an option for Christians whose authority is the Bible, which both compels us to love and welcome immigrants with a particular concern for those who are vulnerable, but also instructs us to respect the law and the governing authorities. And frankly, there aren't a lot of Democrats in Congress or a lot of Republicans in Congress advocating for either of those extreme views. Like, these are just not realistic policy proposals, though some do accuse their opponents of taking the opposite extreme position. The most fierce resistance I encounter is from people who expect me to sort of manipulate the biblical witness to fit one of these extreme policy perspectives. And I tend to find that they're disarmed when they realize that that's not our position at all, that we have a position that I think is, you know, is deeply informed by scripture, but lands somewhere in the middle of those extremes.
Yeah. I'm in a book club right now. We're reading a book on politics, and the chapter last night led us into a discussion about the ways that we've accidentally let ourselves be discipled, as you say, by the news rather than leaning in and listening to scripture and listening to what God actually has to say. So I think that is an important invitation for us to pay attention to. So President Biden recently set the refugee admission ceiling for the fiscal year 2023 at 125,000. That's the highest it's been since fiscal year 1993. I know he set it at the same number last year as well. Do you see any correlation between this LifeWay research study and the refugee ceiling?
Yeah, I mean, you know, very consistent with this LifeWay research study that finds that refugee resettlement is now broadly supported by U.S. evangelicals, a recent Pew Research study survey also found that most Americans in general, of every major religious tradition and partisan affiliation, also now think that resettling refugees should be either a very or a somewhat important part of U.S. immigration policy. So that level of popular support is likely one factor that President Biden is looking at as he considers where to set the refugee ceiling and making the decision to set it at a relatively high level. But as we've highlighted at World Relief, setting the ceiling does not necessarily mean that 125,000 refugees will actually be admitted to the United States in the coming year. I mean, in the fiscal year that just ended, the United States actually did resettle far more than 125,000 individuals who fled persecution, which proves that our nation has the capacity and the will to do so. But most of those who were resettled were Afghans and Ukrainians who were brought to the U.S. through legal channels other than the formal refugee resettlement program. And precisely because the governmental infrastructure for refugee admissions had been decimated over the past 5 years and progress towards rebuilding has been too slow. So we're grateful that the U.S. found ways to support Afghans and Ukrainians using these legal workarounds, but it's also created some other problems. Many of the Afghans who came to the U.S. last year only have temporary legal protections and work authorization. That's why we're now desperately pleading with the Congress to pass the Afghan Adjustment Act, which is a bill that would give Afghans the peace of mind to know that they actually belong here permanently, not just on a temporary basis. I hope that, and I pray that both the Biden administration and the Congress will take these polling results as confirmation that they have the support of the American people, including large majorities of evangelical Christians, to rebuild a robust refugee resettlement program that not only allows us to admit future Afghan and Ukrainian refugees, but also resumes resettlement of refugees who fled conflicts years, maybe even decades ago, and have been stuck in camps or other inadequate settings with little global public attention. And it also then allows us to nimbly respond to the next unforeseen refugee crisis.
I feel like this is one of those clear examples of when government can do good work, and that we need those systems in place to be able to respond when crises occur.
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone who wants to build off of this momentum, if they're reading the study and feeling encouraged, to build off the momentum and advocate for immigrants in the U.S. and even in their hometown?
Yeah. You know, one finding of this study is that 4 in 5 American evangelicals say they want Republicans and Democrats to work together to pass reforms that include a path to citizenship for Dreamers. That's undocumented immigrants who are brought to the U.S. as children, many of whom have benefited from the DACA program, as well as reforms to ensure an adequate legal agricultural labor force and strengthen border security. That's a pretty remarkable figure. It's really hard to get 80% of U.S. evangelicals to agree on anything. So, you know, U.S. evangelicals also feel some urgency around these concerns. About more than 7 in 10 said they want Congress to act this year. The good news is there have been bipartisan bills introduced in Congress to address each of these challenges, including the DREAM Act, the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, and the Bipartisan Border Solutions Act. But it's far clear that they will get a vote in the U.S. Senate. 65% of evangelicals say they'd be more likely to support a candidate who supported policies addressing these specific policy concerns. But that doesn't mean Congress will take action. So if we wanted to seek change that lasts in the halls of Congress and in our communities, we need the church to be active stewards of the influence to which God has entrusted us by speaking up with vulnerable immigrants for more just policies. That might start by sending a quick email message or making a phone call. I will acknowledge that for millennials like me, it's like a scary thing to make a phone call. Like, can't you just text a member of Congress? Not really. But one thing that's good to know is our partners at the Evangelical Immigration Table have a super easy tool that you don't even have to know your senator's phone number or dial it. You plug in your zip code, they'll figure out who your senator is, they'll connect you and even give you a script. And then I'd say even beyond that, we can ask ourselves, you know, who else could I get to make a phone call? You know, what misconceptions could I gently correct that are held by some people in my own family or in my own church community, pointing them to the scriptures and to the relationships that we have with people who are directly affected? And to get them to the point where they're ready to make that phone call as well.
If you're interested in learning more or taking a next step, you can visit worldrelief.org/advocate or check out evangelicalimmigrationtable.com/advocacy for more opportunities.